Just a month from today, Beijing will host the opening ceremonies of the Olympic Games. China's leaders are looking forward to showing the world a modern, sophisticated face. They've been transforming the city of more than 17 million people. They've paid less attention, though, to the soul of Beijing and to maintaining a connection to its past. The World's Mary Kay Magstead has the second part in our series on China's urbanization.
The city of Beijing has ancient roots and a layout designed centuries ago on a north-south axis to curry the favor of heaven. The imperial city also had a strict social hierarchy and strict rules about who could live in the capital. At a tea house near Tiananmen Square, Yang Yizong pines for those days. He's a rickshaw driver and a descendant of a Ming Dynasty chef.
Back then, there were strict guidelines for how to lay out the city, how to build and decorate everything from royal palaces to ordinary people's homes. There were codes of conduct telling people how to live. This was part of our cultural and social identity, and a nation with such a long history should not have been changed by one person's will.
The one person Yang is talking about is Mao Zedong. Mao tore down Beijing's ancient city walls. He built factory complexes within the city and subdivided courtyard homes, throwing strangers in with the families who'd lived there for generations. But Beijing's biggest changes have come in the 3 decades since Mao died and economic reform started. They've only sped up since 2001, when Beijing won the right to host this year's Olympics. Even the neighborhood where Yang's ancestor, the imperial chef, once lived, hasn't entirely been spared, and Yang offers to show me what's happening there. I hop onto his rickshaw, and we pedal down a narrow alley just south of Tiananmen Square. It opens into a lane of courtyard houses called a hutong. Old men sit on tiny stools shooting the breeze. Women haggle at a corner shop where freshly slaughtered chickens hang by their necks. A man pedals by on a bicycle cart, calling out for iron to recycle. This is Tiananmen, a neighborhood that goes back centuries. The government is turning it into a kind of Disneyfied version of a hutong. Workers are busy tearing down many old buildings and then rebuilding them as old buildings. Another part of Tiananmen has been leveled and turned into an artificial period complex of upscale restaurants and shops, a stop for tourists during the Olympics. Yang isn't impressed.
All these new buildings coming up in Beijing are like the jeans that people in foreign countries wear. They have nothing to do with our traditional Chinese culture. And they've destroyed Beijing's layout and cultural atmosphere.
There is a belated new emphasis among Beijing's city planners on preserving at least some of the city's traditional layout and flavor. But already, most of the old courtyard neighborhoods have been destroyed, their tight-knit communities scattered. The loss of community is a real loss, says Zhou Rong, a 40-year-old architect at Beijing's Tsinghua University. But he thinks there's a lot of romanticizing about the way of life of the old hutongs.
The life was quite miserable. Can you imagine hundreds of people share only one toilet? Every morning you have to, this is a very, very long line. This is a miserable, very, very cold, without any heating system, you know, in that toilet.
Zhou now lives in a modern apartment building with his own bathroom and central heating. And he wouldn't trade those for anything. But one thing he misses about the Beijing neighborhoods he knew as a child is the camaraderie.
The modern cities, contemporary Chinese cities, is very bad. People make more and more unfamiliar with each other. I don't know even one of my neighbors. I don't know what their career, what their name, how many people live in that door, I don't know.
So like when you moved in, if you'd like knocked on people's doors and said, "Hi, I'm Zhou Rong. I just moved here. I just wanted to introduce myself," how would they react?
They maybe think I'm a crazy people and it's a crazy person. I don't know. Because this kind of culture, this kind of living culture, is not promote people to live in a very friendly way. You have to make your personal space from the city. You can rob the space from the city as much as possible. And at the same time, you have to refuse other people, you know, to share the space with you.
The idea of walling yourself off from others does have roots in old Beijing and other Chinese cities, where walls kept outsiders away. That was true both of city walls and of courtyard houses. They were built to look inward, with high walls and only a windowless door opening to the street. In modern Beijing, the walls are now around upscale gated communities.
That, for me, is one of the biggest problems of Beijing, that makes it, in a way, more and more gated and hostile.
That's architect Andre Schmidt, who has co-written a book on Beijing's development called Big Bang Beijing. He says the city's turning into a series of residential and commercial islands separated by parking lots and moats of green space that passersby can look at but can't use.
It makes also the city divided into a much larger grid, referring back to the need of cars and the not-so-pedestrian-friendly situation.
Schmidt says this as we walk across a chaotic 8-lane road and under a flyover. The air is thick with exhaust. In a few short years, Beijing has gone from being a city of bicycles to a city of 3.5 million cars, many of them idling in gridlock when they aren't trying to take over bicycle lanes. The World Bank has estimated that some 700,000 Chinese die prematurely each year from illness related to air and water pollution. City planner Tan Xuxiang says the Beijing government has noted the problem and is working on it. He says the government has imposed strict emissions controls on vehicles. It's building several new subway lines and encouraging Beijing's ever-growing urban population to move to self-contained suburbs and new towns on Beijing's periphery. Many of those new towns are designed to be more pedestrian-friendly, built on a human scale. That would be a welcome development for architect Zhou Rong. He says too much of Chinese urban planning throughout history has been more about power than about enhancing human experience.
The ancient Chinese cities are treated like a ritual symbol. It's a symbol of the authority, of the power of the country, of the highest place of an emperor and the country. You know, Chinese always treat the city as a symbol. It's not as it's a place you live in.
Zhou says successive rulers in Beijing have tried to build the city as their own utopia. First, the Beijing of emperors, with its precise symmetry and strict hierarchy. Then, the Beijing of Mao Zedong, with imposing buildings and the massive Tiananmen Square. Now that communism is dead in all but name, he says, China's leaders are chasing a new myth of city as capitalist utopia.
The city is kind of a sacred, you know, as a god. You have to obey every demand from the city. So in name of the city, the government can demolish everybody's home and without any reason. The reason is for the urbanization. So this is a kind of myth. You can't against that god, you know.
There's another god, Zhou says, and that's money. He says too many cities around China are run these days like profit-seeking corporations, with municipal officials doing secret deals with developers without thinking much about how all this will affect residents' interactions or mobility or even aesthetic enjoyment of the city. Drive around Beijing and you'll see mostly a relentless landscape of towers and concrete. Many of China's provincial cities have copied this model and have lost their own unique flavor in the process. Beijing still has a few of its back streets left, where neighbors sit outside playing mahjong and swapping gossip. But it's an ever-shrinking part of an ever more modern city, and much of the new generation that's grown up in it, like 17-year-old Yu Zhongyue, doesn't entirely know or care what's missing. He says, "I think the way Beijing is now is much better than my parents' Beijing. Back then, life was really bitter." He says he likes Beijing's buzz, its towers, its shopping malls, and fast, edgy pace. It takes him a long while to think of anything that might have been better about the way Beijing was before. Oh, the environment, he says finally. Yeah, I guess the air was better back then. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing.
Tomorrow, China's cities are magnets for millions of migrants, and that's taking a toll on the communities left behind. That's coming up tomorrow on The World.